Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Take you up to 10:35 when we simulcast with the Nightly Sports Call. Josh Rountree here on the Fan Evening Show. We head to the Nemacolin Hotline and bring in our next guest, Dan Kongerski of Pittsburgh Hockey Now. What's up, Dan? How are you tonight?
You know, it feels weird not being at a hockey rink. It's like every other night now for the next 2 months.
Well, you'll get that tomorrow night, and I'll be there with you. So we'll be together once again. But, Dan, the Penguins, 7-1-1 in their last nine. Kind of a simple question, but what's changed for them for the better?
You know, a few things. They've actually been getting a little bit more production from their bottom six, or at least the third line, I should say. But overall, they have been playing a more structured, patient, but yet aggressive game. They haven't been making these ridiculous mistakes. I mean, don't get me wrong. There have been a few real stinkers. That third period against the Islanders was anything but good hockey. And last weekend against Florida was kind of a letdown. But if you take the overall body of their work, they have just made that mental switch to play some smarter hockey. Giving up less goals and giving less chances is really all they needed to do for months, really.
It seemed like last night, Dan, that the Rangers decided to make that game a little physical to try to get under the skin a little bit. And maybe the Penguins gave into it somewhat, and maybe that's a good thing to give into it at times, but they also seem to play a composed game. And I'm guessing as you head down the stretch in March, that's probably a good thing, like you said, to just sort of stay locked in. And I thought that was a positive thing and a major way to take away from last night's game is that we didn't really see them do anything idiotic, I guess, out there to cost them that game, and they were able to win it in overtime.
In past days or even recent days, you might expect Evgeny Malkin to, you know, high stick somebody after that yeah. Trocheck exchange, right? You might expect, you know, someone to do something stupid in that kind of, I'll show you guys I'm tough. But no, the Penguins responded within the bounds and the context of the extra legal rules. You know what I mean? Like, you know, the officials aren't going to call you for a good face wash or a little mitt to the face in the scrum. They did those things. They stood up for themselves, but they didn't do anything petulant or you know, that the referees had to call. So they stayed out of the penalty box, which, given their penalty kill over the last couple or a few months, was huge for them. And not giving up those power play goals, which, if you remember last May, that's how the Rangers really got back in the series. You know, bad goaltending, chicken winging Sidney Crosby, and they just kept scoring power play goals. Well, without a power play, you can't do the latter of those. So, yeah, I think the Penguins had the better of the 5-on-5 play, and they kept that advantage with brains.
Dan, I'm curious about this quote last night. Tristan Jarry, after the game, was asked about kind of what I just asked you, essentially, what's changed here of late. And he said, quote, "Getting those couple of guys really sparked our team," meaning the players that they added at the deadline. "It showed us in the organization that we want to win." I'm curious what you made of that comment, because to me, I mean, Ron he's gotten a ton of heat, Hextall has here of late, but obviously that seemed to me to kind of be a player coming to his defense maybe a little bit and showing that, like, hey, we sort of believe in what this team can be and how it's constructed and what it is. What did you make of that quote by Jarry?
Yeah, I was standing on the periphery, and I was like, wait, did I just kind of hear that? It does have a ripple effect. If you look at Carolina, that largely stood pat at the NHL trade deadline, they're now having some trouble. And I don't know what it is. it's that new blood, new life, new legs, whatever it is, does seem to help a team. Now, let's pull on that thread and go back to Brock McGinn and Kasperi Kapanen, who were doing absolutely nothing at 5-on-5. Mm-hmm. As tight as a locker room can be, and, you know, when we do 11 on the ice, Borky and I talked a bit about this, you know, you defend your guys. You might know their shortcomings, but you still defend them. Getting rid of those two players, and no matter what they do in the other cities, they might have 50-goal seasons for all the Penguins care, but excising those and making an attempt to better the team, it does have a little bit of an emotional bounce or a boost on the inside.
Is there some reason for optimism with Jari after that performance last night? Obviously, I think it was three straight games that he gave up four goals, one of which he got yanked after, I think, 22 minutes on the ice. Is there reason to maybe think that, maybe the more that he plays in March, the better off he and the Penguins will be if, in fact, they do get to the postseason?
That's what he and Mike Sullivan keep alluding to. Need to get on the ice more. Need to get on the ice more. So until we really know what Jari is dealing with, obviously everyone's kind of heard the hip rumor, and I want to, you know, be clear, it is just a rumor. No one's been able to report that in any substantive way. But whatever he is dealing with, clearly he has to keep working through it. He was pretty good against the Rangers. I thought the Penguins' defense, the forwards especially, creating that team defense concept on Sunday, kept him out of danger mm-hmm. quite a bit. He didn't have to face a ton of high-danger shots. He didn't have to do a lot of, you know, scrambling or post-to-post movement on odd man rushes. Didn't have to do that kind of stuff that he's had to do recent past and that he's struggled with. I mean, I thought he really kind of struggled against both Columbus and, forgive me, they all kind of run together, his last start, where he was sliding on his pads without using his skates to anchor. So he was actually sliding past the post and kind of, you know, out of control a little bit. I didn't see that against the Rangers, but also he didn't have to do those big moves against the Rangers. So it was a good step forward. Now we'll see. I presume he'll play against the Canadiens. We'll see, you know, how that continues to progress.
Dan, I saw that you wrote for Pittsburgh Hockey. Now you're a little bit critical of the third line, or the third defensive pairing, I should say, with Kulikov and Rudo. How do they fix, I guess, their defensive pairings to make them more cohesive? Is there a fix in house that you know can make that more cohesive and better? Or I mean, are they just sort of playing with what they have at this point?
No, I think the puzzle pieces need to be put together a little differently on that. Kulikov being kind of an all-round guy, but doesn't have a great deal of offense to him. And we've seen this season, Jan Ruda is best as a stay-home defenseman as well. So you've kind of got two guys playing backward. And by backward, I mean, you know, playing towards their net, not, you know, stepping forward aggressively, not able to really skate it out of trouble and doing those sorts of things. When you take away that speed element that maybe P.O. Joseph brought to the Jan Ruda pairing, that third pairing has been getting caved in. They had a 20% shot attempt rate against the Flyers of all teams. I mean, that means of every shot on the ice, all the shots, you know, attempted in that game, you know, that pairing allowed 80% and only had 20% in their favor. It wasn't much better against the Rangers either. You know, they were both underwater and kind of caved in. You know, I don't know if putting P.O. ahead of Kulikov is the right answer. I don't know if putting Dumoulin back with Letang so you can put Kulikov with Petrie is the answer. But I do know that Jan Ruda, when he's played with Kulikov and Dumoulin before him, when he plays with that type of defenseman, it's not a good thing, and I don't think the Penguins should stick too long with that pairing.
Dan, last thing for you, Jeff Carter on that fourth line. I also read you're fairly critical of that group in in last night's game as well against the Rangers. Obviously the Nick Bonino situation, he's out right now, but is there a way of switching things up there and getting better, or are they kind of stuck with what they have right now? Are there just really no options for a fourth line center outside of what they have? Because Carter wasn't great when he was with the third line. Now he's not very good with the fourth line, and it just doesn't really seem to be working at all with the guy at this point.
Well, I should be clear, and I was offering him praise over the last, let's call it, a couple of weeks. I saw a noticeable uptick in his play. I saw a little pep in his step and a little, hop in his skates. It didn't work so well this weekend. And just to say how bad it was for Jeff Carter on Sunday against the Rangers, he was on the ice for 20 shot attempts. Two of those were for the Penguins. 18 were for the Rangers. Oof. And that was in about 9 minutes and 40 seconds of ice time. That is unbelievably bad. Josh Archibald was like 0 for 12, 12 against, 0 for, and poor Danton Heinen was, I think, 0 for 7 or 0 for 9. No shot attempts from that line. So to get to the answer, though, it's not a good answer, because this is where maybe Hextall fell short, really short at the trade deadline, and not bolstering the team's center depth. Because now that Bonino's hurt, you had to kind of assume somebody would get hurt. The Penguins are now again without any options. There's nothing down in Wilkes-Barre that they can call up and put in the middle. There's no centers down there who will help. Drew O'Connor, much better on the wing than in the middle. Perhaps in an emergency, you put him, as a fourth line center, but I don't know how much better it would be. And so the Penguins really are kind of stuck on how to fix this problem. They don't have, Sullivan doesn't have really any options.
Dan, are you a bracket guy? Do you like filling out the brackets? No brackets for you, huh?
Well, I will fill them out. Doesn't mean I like it.
Oh, okay.
I just, I'll just hand my money to somebody else. Maybe I'll go, hand around downtown, buy some cups of coffee or something instead.
I appreciate that answer. Thank you. Dan, thanks so much. As always, have a good night, and I'll see you at the rink tomorrow night.
Take care, Josh.
All right, Dan Kongerski of Pittsburgh Hockey Now. Great insight there. Boy, that is atrocious. That fourth line, 18 shots against and two shots on goal four. That is unbelievable. I think he said it word for word, unbelievably bad. That is horrendous. Carter, Archibald, and Heinen. They went and got Bonino, and now he's out. And they, like he said, they don't have any options. I mean, they got to just hope and pray at this point with Bonino having, a lacerated kidney. They have to just hope and pray that Jeff Carter just finds it for however long it takes. And even at that, there's in the next month here, there's going to be more injuries. I mean, someone's going to get hurt. It's the nature of the game. They're going to need this guy to play a role. And it just seems like when he's on the ice, bad things happen. And maybe he was a little bit better of late, but my God, 18 shots against that line, the fourth line, which doesn't even play that much. That's one thing if it's top two line and there's 18 shots against and it's a back and forth game, but when there's two on for you and 18 against and you're playing sparing minutes, that's horrendous. Man, that is bad. I like them more, what they're doing of late, the Penguins, but I cannot legitimately look at them and say that they're actually on a real uptick. I know they've won 7 of 9. They're 7-1-1 in their last 9. But I saw them have a winning streak earlier in the year and then go into the tank. I've seen this team go up and down and up and down, and that just seems like it's who they are. Right now, they're peaking, which means that in a couple of weeks, they'll probably start losing. It's just who they've been this year. And until I see them not do that, and look, I don't expect them to win out or anything the rest of the way or continue a 7-1-1 stretch from here until the end of the year. But this is a team that is just not, I think, going to be able to sort of level out and be consistent. It's just not who they are right now. They're getting these great runs, and then they're getting some bad runs. Unless these pieces that they added, you know, Bonino gets back and Granlund, I mean, if they can really do something, if they can really be a big part of this, maybe they can be the part that evens out this team. But even at that, I mean, you're not talking about, I think, massive game-changing type of players. I don't have a good feel for them heading down the stretch. I think that they might make the playoffs. They might do just enough to get in again, but it's going to, I think, be a very, very speedy exit once they get there. Very, very quick. We'll take a quick break and we come back. Some final thoughts here on the Fan Evening Show before we send it off to the nightly sports call. I'm Josh Rauncher here on the Fan.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's always a good night when you get called an imbecile on Twitter. It's been a fun show. And I'll get to take that home with me. What time did you say I have to be off the air? I forget, Joel. 10:31. Is that when I'm finally done here? All right. Great. The old imbecile is a really good insult. It is. Even if I'm getting called it, I appreciate it. It's a good word, imbecile. It really sums up everything that you need it to. Thanks to Brad for tweeting me that tonight. Appreciate you, Brad. Thanks for listening. So a new development in the Patrick Peterson signing. Earlier today, he tweeted out, this was about an hour ago, he tweeted a photo of the 6 Lombardi trophies with the Steeler logo and made that his profile picture, automatically endearing himself to the Yinzer faithful. Anytime they see a picture of the 6 Lombardis together, ooh, chills up the spine. Then he tweeted out a photo of himself in a Steelers jersey, a photoshopped photo, and he's wearing number 7. He's wearing a Steelers number 7 jersey, and that tweet, as you would expect, blew up. FanDuel tweeted, you know, the Idris Elba eating the wings, and he starts coughing, and he's like, what the... That meme, they tweeted that at it and said, Ben Roethlisberger seeing someone else wear number 7 in Pittsburgh. That Idris Elba freaking out. Because you know Ben's so petty that he just absolutely can't stand that. He just couldn't stand ever seeing someone wear number 7. 30 minutes after Patrick Peterson posted that, he had to come out with another tweet that says, Dear Steelers Nation, I get it. Number 7, not up for grabs. All love. Signed, P2. This guy hasn't even put ink to paper yet, and already the fan base is telling him that he's not deserving of wearing number 7. A number that, by the way, is not retired, we should add. Here's the thing. If I'm Ben Roethlisberger, I go to Patrick Peterson and I say, by all means, wear number 7. Write me a $10,000 check to the Ben Roethlisberger Foundation. You can wear it for the next 2 years or until you retire. Write me a $10,000 is probably a little cheap for a guy that's making $7 million a year. Write me a $50,000 check, $100,000 check to the Ben Roethlisberger Foundation. You can wear it for the next 2 years. That's what I would do.
That's reasonable.
I'm not super... If Ben was on the team, I would understand Patrick Peterson not wearing number 7. But that jersey's not retired yet. One day maybe it will be, but it's not retired yet. Let the guy wear the number. Make him sign a nice hefty check to the Ben Roethlisberger Foundation. Do an event with Patrick Peterson. He has to come when Ben gives out the dogs or does whatever he does. I don't know what else Ben does with the Ben Roethlisberger Foundation besides give out the police dogs, but that's cool. Whatever. If that's his thing, do it. Make Patrick Peterson come, get the big check, print it out. $100,000 to the Ben Roethlisberger Foundation. He gets to wear number 7. On the memo line, put 7 on the memo line. That's a good way around it. Make this fun and make it beneficial. Give $77,000 to Children's Hospital, and he can wear it.
That's good.
You know what I mean? Do something like that if you're Ben. Don't get butt hurt over a number. And I'm not saying Ben did. Ben's probably out in the woods hunting elk or something in Montana right now and has no idea the Steelers even signed Patrick Peterson. Who knows where he is? I'm sure he's probably aware. Ben, I don't think too many things get by Ben, but make it fun and make it beneficial. Let the guy, if the guy really wants number 7, let him wear it. It's just a number. He's not ruining Ben's legacy. He's not taking away from the greatness of Ben Roethlisberger. Let him wear the freaking number. Make him sign a $70,000 check to Children's Hospital or the Ronald McDonald House or, I don't know, some other great Pittsburgh charity. Make him sign a couple of checks. I think Patrick Peterson would do it. He's made enough money in his career. If he wants number 7, he'll sign that check. Not only that, what a great way to earn a bunch of goodwill in a town that could be ripping you in a couple of months if you start getting burned.
That's a great point.
What a good way to get on a good side of a town than to do that. Win-win for everybody. Thanks tonight to all of our guests that hopped on. Thanks first to Joel Nelson for producing and battling through some technical issues earlier in the show. Joel handled that very, very nicely. Thanks to Stefan Kreisnick. Thanks to Jeff Hathorn, Chris Carter, Dan Kingersky as well for joining us. I'll be back on Sunday, I believe, at 12. I think that could be TBA if Pitt happens to get scheduled, but if they make it to the round of 32, then that could change for me potentially. But I think that's the plan now. Noon on Sunday, and then I'll be back on next Thursday as well. Thanks for being along for the ride. I'm Josh Rountree. The Nightly Sports Call coming up next is the Fan Evening Show here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.